With each passing week, we seem to be faced with more and more situations that cause us to focus on the worst in our world. Decisions are being made that are dividing our communities, hurting and angering people deeply, and making many wonder if there is any hope for peace and civility in our world. This last week has been a giant example of all of this turmoil in a nutshell. We've had the cases of Nuri Chavarria and Joel Colindres, both of whom came to the United States from Guatemala over a decade ago, receiving deportation orders which would force them to leave family behind and return alone to a nation that they have not been a part of for years. There's the opening of debate on the repeal and replacement of the Affordable Care Act with decisions that would have an impact on the care available to every American in some way. And now, the already marginalized transgender community is under attack both by bathroom bills in Texas and Washington, casting aside dedicated soldiers from our nation's armed forces. So day by day, bit by bit, we're being torn apart and thrown to the ground. Little by little, even the greatest optimist starts to let a little bit of doubt creep in, and to wonder if defeat is inevitable. The most faithful of people start asking where God is in all of this and why bad things continue to happen to good people. Which brings about a question I've thought about a lot lately. Have you ever been called out by someone for having tunnel vision? I can tell you there were numerous times in my life where people, especially my father, would point out that I had blinders on and was only looking at one piece of a much bigger puzzle. Each time I was given that feedback, I was forced to take a step back and look more completely at the world around me. Tunnel vision happens naturally. When we're confronted with a situation, we take our life experiences and viewpoints and zoom in on our own interpretation of the world around us. And when what we see angers, hurts, or challenges us, we dig in and scream out. We try to go it alone and lash back out. To try to make sense of the struggle, we try to come up with reasons why this might be happening. And because we have our tunnel vision goggles on, we look at the pieces of what we've learned and form incomplete perspectives. Today's message from Romans is a great example of that. We read, "He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself." And we start to think that everything's already determined. We start to ask if we've been faithful. Why do we still suffer? We run out of words to say. It brings to mind, for me, the lyrics of a very powerful song from the musical Dear Evan Hansen called Words Fail. The song opens with, "I never meant to make it such a mess. I never thought that it would go this far. So I just stand here, sorry, searching for something to say. Something to say. Words fail. Words fail. There's nothing I can say." We're certainly not the first ones to ask where God is in the midst of all their struggles. Psalm 44, 23 through 26 says, "Get up, God! Are you going to sleep all day? Wake up! Don't you care what happens to us? Why do you bury your face in the pillow? Why pretend that things are just fine with us? And here we are, flat on our faces in the dirt, held down with a boot on our necks. Get up and come to our rescue. If you love us so much, help us." These people actually had the audacity to challenge God, to demand God come to their aid. The reality is that our salvation is something that happens at a very different point for us. It doesn't come while we are still growing and learning and developing as children of God. If we knew today with 100% certainty that we were in good standing with God, we'd start to carry a bit of a huge swagger and boast to others. We'd stop doing what Christ calls us to do and just hang out while judging everybody else around us. But salvation does come. Thanks to Christ, we cannot be separated from God. In Romans 8, Paul explains how we need to broaden our view and understand how big and how endless God's love truly is. He's saying, don't tunnel vision on who is blessed by God and who isn't, nor on why bad things might be happening. In fact, he's saying, look more openly to understand that when we are suffering, that's when we need to rely even more on God. Think of what we're reminded of in Psalm 55, 16 through 19. I call to God. God will help me. At dusk, dawn, and noon, I sigh deep sighs. He hears, he rescues. My life is well and whole, secure in the middle of danger. Even while thousands are lined up against me, God hears it all, and from his judge's bench puts them in their place. But set in their ways, they won't change. They pay him no mind. So how do we do that? When we're truly struggling, how do we see through it to God's presence? If the Spirit is praying for us, groaning for us, sighing for us, how can we know that? And how do we receive it to know we are truly with God? How can we know that God is for us? We can start by choosing to look where God is in our world rather than where we think he isn't. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Never lose an opportunity of seeing anything beautiful, for beauty is God's handwriting." Anne Frank said, "Think of all the beauty still left around you and be happy." Emily Dickinson reflected, "Beauty is not caused, it is." So where can we find this beauty? Where can we experience God around us? It's already there. We just need to pay attention. It's in the babbling singing of an 11-month-old boy in this sanctuary as we sing a hymn. It's in two women from this church that left yesterday for Pittsburgh with a mission to be trained in delivering a ministry of healing and hope for those who are struggling with grief and loss. It's in pastors in this community who don't know us, yet pray for us, pray for our health and our ministries every day. There are so many things that separate us from God. Bigotry, harassment, hunger and poverty, death and power are just a few. But only one thing was needed to keep us eternally connected to God. It was given freely to us on the cross. And because of that gift, the one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. So take this moment to pause. Be still. Sense the Spirit praying on your behalf. Take off the tunnel vision blinders and see the beauty of God working through, around, and among us. Know that there is nothing that God can't or won't do to fulfill his promise to us of beauty in his kingdom. Let's pray. Ever-present God, we know that we have times when we are challenged to the point that we focus on only the evil, the bad, and the ugliness in our world. We know that it pulls our gaze from you and toward hopelessness. Help us to take off our blinders and see all you have given and all that you do in this world. Open our eyes to the beauty you've created. Give us the knowledge that with you in our corner, we can never lose no matter what the odds are. Guide our steps that we might focus on how we can become beauty for someone else. Help us to speak out for justice for the oppressed, to ensure no one is without basic needs of food and health, to offer the words of prayer for those who can only sigh, unable to find their own words, for whom words fail. Grant us the vision and strength to serve you, that we may be instruments of your eternal Spirit. Amen.